Wake up. It's the Morning Motivation with Brittany Daniel.
Hey, guys. Good morning, good morning, good morning. And Grand Rising. I'm your host, Brittany Daniel, and welcome to the Morning Motivation. Hope that you guys are doing well. It is April 7th today, and we are again reading the 9 things successful people do differently. And again, this is a really, really good short, quick read that we have been reading all week with a whole lot of gems. So if you haven't seen any of those, then check those out. If you are new and this is your first time watching, please let me know where you guys are from. Do not forget to hit the subscribe button, give this video a like, and leave a comment in the comment box, as I will be interacting with you guys through the entire live stream today. And I just want to say thank you for being here. So we're going to go ahead and get started with the morning prayer and then the morning shout outs and jump right into today's topic, which is be a realistic optimistic. So what does that mean? So we're going to get into it. Okay, so before we get started, if you guys are not spiritual or religious, it's totally okay. I hope that I can pray for you anyway. And if you have a different religious belief or different religious background, I hope that it's okay that I pray for you anyway. And everybody is welcome here, no matter what you believe in. So dear Heavenly Father, thank you for waking us up again for another day. Thank you for allowing us to come together, converse, and fellowship, and just get another daily dose of motivation. I pray everybody has wisdom, discernment, patience, peace, and optimism, and realistic optimism in their foresight. In your darling son Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, you guys are loading up the comments. Thank you so much. Let's go ahead and go to the morning shout outs. Good morning, She Amber. Happy Thursday. Good morning, Such a Lady. Good morning, Destiny. Good morning, Being Meech. Good morning, Felicia. Good morning, Anaya. Good morning, Clay. Good morning, Turquoise. Good morning, Brandy. Good morning, LaDonna. Good morning, Chador. Good morning, Chevy Chev. Good morning, Nelson. Miss Ma'am, I'm not sure how to pronounce your name, but good morning. Issa, let me know how to pronounce your name in the description box. Good morning, Labia. Good morning, Angelica. I see a lot of new names. Good morning. If you guys are new, let me know where you guys are watching from. Good morning, Miss Debbie. Good morning, Life of Suzette. Good morning, Brittany. Good morning, Ashley. And Grand Rising to all of those who say Grand Rising. I'm so excited to come to you guys today and just be here. I had something else to put out. Oh, if you guys have signed up for the coaching sessions, that those will be starting tonight. I'm feeling so much better. Last week I had to postpone because I was very, very sick, if you guys remember. Good morning. So today they kick off. So check your emails. The links and everything was sent to your emails and all of the information there. So I'm super excited about that. And if you guys are interested in life coaching, one-on-one coaching, and anything like that, then don't forget to contact me at Brittany the Host and all of that good stuff. Let me put it on the board. Do not forget to contact me at brittanythehost@gmail.com and get more information about that. And also, if you guys want to enter the book giveaway, which we do every Friday, follow me on Instagram and you can go to the link in the bio and it will take you to enter the book giveaway, because I'll be giving away this book on Friday. Let me turn me up a little bit because I'm a little bit more soft-spoken than normal. So I hope you guys are doing great. Good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. So in today's topic, this one was really interesting for me. Because this book, why I like this book so much and why I picked this up and why I wanted to read this on Morning Motivation with you guys is, like I've been saying all week, it's a very different self-help book than we've heard a lot. And if you're going to hear some things that I'm going to say today that I normally don't say to you guys, I'm normally very optimistic and shoot for the stars, but this book has changed my mind about a few things, and we're going to talk about that today. So the first little nugget we have, let me pull up my notes. The first little nugget we have in being a realistic optimist is positive thinking isn't enough to achieve your goals. Whew. positive thinking is not enough to achieve your goals. And this was kind of hard to swallow because I'm all about a positive thinking, stay positive. And you hear that so much, like, oh, don't, you know, no negative thinking, or when we're going through something and we're trying to figure it out and we want to we have a goal or we have something we want to set. And if anybody says anything to, I guess the opposite of what we want, if they say, hey, what about this? Or I don't know if that's going to work. We take it as hate. We take it as, I don't need your negativity. But the book suggests, and we're going to dive into it, that actually we should be listening to those people, that we should be taking those concerns and things into consideration. And it was very different because I've never heard that in any book I've ever read before. So I love that angle. I love that. And we're going to dive deep into what that means. So the first nugget is positive thinking isn't enough to achieve your goals. I'm going to read the first page because I highlighted it all because it was really good and I wanted to share it with you. It says, when you are setting a goal, by all means, engage a lot of positive thinking and how likely you are to achieve it. So the book says, do be positive. Believing in your ability to succeed is enormously helpful for creating and sustaining your motivation. But whatever you do, don't underestimate how difficult it will be to reach your goal. Most goals worth achieving require time, planning, effort, and persistence. Studies show that thinking things will come to you easily and effortlessly leaves you ill-prepared for the journey ahead and significantly increases your odds of failure. Good morning. Let me read that last part again. That's really good. Most goals worth achieving require time, planning, effort, and persistence. Studies show that thinking things will come to you easily and effortlessly leaves you ill-prepared for the journey ahead and significantly increases the odds of failure. I was like, ooh, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. I think that this is very important. I remember one time we were having a conversation here on Morning Motivation, and somebody, you know, did not like that I told you guys that it was going to be hard work to achieve a lot of your goals. They were like, well, I don't like hard, you know, nobody wants to hear for whatever reason that things are going to be hard, that things are going to take a lot of effort, a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of planning, a lot of persistence. Remember we talked about planning yesterday? It was yesterday or the day before yesterday? I think it was yesterday. We talked about planning and how integral and how important planning was and knowing the steps that you have to take in order to achieve your goals. And I think a lot of times, especially nowadays, I can't speak for the rest of the world, but with American society, especially with a lot of spirituality being kind of interwoven into motivation and interwoven into business and things like that, there are a lot of mantras and a lot of, I guess, mindset coaches or mindset, not even just mindset coaches, but mindset things and books and motivational speeches and all of those things that only focus on your positive thoughts, right? There's a narrative that if you just stay positive, that if you just, you know, focus on the positive only, don't worry about the negative won't happen. Whatever you focus on grows, which is true. You know, if you tell yourself, I'm only going to pay attention to the red things in the room, then you're only going to pay attention to the red things in the room. So that is true. However, I feel like we don't leave room in that space of saying, hey, be positive, think that, know that your dreams are going to come true, reach after your goals. But then we leave out the very important piece of the realism in that situation. One of my good friends, Kirsten King, she's really, really, really spot on with that. She always talks about having realistic goals, setting realistic expectations. And sometimes that sucks. You know, sometimes we don't want to hear that. Sometimes if we think about reality, if we think about how long something is going to take or how much work something may be or the reality of our situations, especially when you're already a pessimist or you may be already a negative thinker by nature, that can deter you so much. It can just actually do the opposite. So for some people, it's crucial to stay in that positive rose-colored glasses world. But when it comes to achieving specific goals, like getting a new job, maybe having a family, or, you know, just certain things like starting a business, I really do believe in that what this book says is most goals achieving require time, planning, and effort and persistence. Studies show that thinking things will come easily and effortlessly leaves you ill-prepared for the journey ahead and significantly increases your chance, your odds of failure. And I think that they say that is because when you're met with an obstacle or you're met with something that you didn't see coming or you didn't even think about, it could kind of set you up for failure in a certain extent, because it can hit you harder than if you already set your mind, like, I'm going to achieve my goal and there may be some obstacles. This may be one. And when you're faced it, you're already mentally prepared to tackle it. You already have a plan in place or maybe a nest egg in place to handle it, take care of it, and continue to move on. You know, there are a lot of people that say, like I said before, don't focus on the negative, only focus on the positive. And that's not all the time, I think, like the book says, the best advice. You know, we have to be realistic with the things that lie ahead. It's like buying a home, right? Yes, buying a home. And for some of you guys who are homeowners or going through the process right now, you know that that's not a hunky-dory process whatsoever. Buying a home is a very, very stressful process. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of asking for things multiple times, a lot of invasion of your privacy, it feels like, especially when they're asking for your bank account statements and they want to know where this came from and why you have this. And you got to make sure that the ducks are in a row. And they ask you a lot of, you know, personal financial questions buying a home. Or in the process of dating, you know, to some people it could be fun, and to some people that process of meeting Mr. Right or meeting Mrs. Right or trying to find the person who is perfect for what you feel like it may be your ideal family can be draining. You know, going out on a bad date after bad date or meeting like certain people online and things not working out, it can be a little deterrent. But understanding that that is a part of the process, that's a part of the journey that will help you, I feel like, keep going further. To understand like, hey, this journey is not going to be easy. It's going to maybe have some sleepless nights, maybe have me tossing and turning a little bit. But the reward on the other side of that, or getting to my goal, is going to be significantly more rewarding than anything that could possibly deter me. You know, like I talked to you guys about going to law school. If you want to go into law school, good morning. If you want to get into law school, that process, actually just becoming a lawyer in general, that process is not an easy one. That process has a lot of ups and downs, a lot of hurry up and wait, a lot of study, take a test, and then you're waiting for months to get your results. There's a lot of ups and downs with that whole process. But understanding that if the goal is to become a lawyer and you're just going to stick with it, if the goal is to become a homeowner, or the goal is to become a homeowner again, or the goal is to have a family, or the goal is to start that business, or the goal is to go back to school, whatever that goal is, understanding that process it's going to take and being very realistic with the ups and downs will set you up for success more than just saying, hey, it's going to be amazing. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make $1 million in a year, or I'm going to get the house that I want of my dreams right off the bat. Sometimes you get lucky, because there is such thing as luck in this world. And then other times it just takes persistence. It takes being in the right place at the right time. It takes perfect timing. It takes a lot of prayer. There are a lot of layers when we are achieving our goals. Miss LaDonna says, your why behind your goal needs to be strong, because that will push you on the days when you are not motivated and positive thinking does not work. Preach, LaDonna. Hello. I love that. Your why definitely has to be strong. What is the reason you're going through all of this? You know, and the good thing about knowing that it's going to be hard, right? The good thing of knowing that it's going to take work is once you get there, the reward is a lot sweeter. Have you ever gotten anything that just came easy and you're like, well, that was easy? You don't really appreciate it enough, you know, going through the journey, going through the ups and downs, the trials and tribulations to actually achieving your goals just makes it more sweet when you get there. But I love what LaDonna said, focusing on your why is crucial, because those moments there, you're not going to be motivated on your journey 24/7. You're not going to be overly positive 24/7 when obstacles are going to come your way. I love the realistic, being a realistic optimist is obstacles are going to come my way, but how am I going to, you know, I'm going to just keep trudging forward. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to make sure that I keep my eye on the prize because I know that it's worth it. I know that whatever I have to go through, once I get it, once I achieve it, once I'm in my home, once I have my family, once I have the money in the bank, once I have this business off the ground, once I'm traveling all over the world, everything will be worth it. So I love that, LaDonna. Thank you for sharing. Clay says, when planning, I wrote down all the things that I could tell myself if things don't go as planned, telling myself that it's not the end if all doesn't go as I planned. I love that. Worst case scenarios, right? So there is a technique that you guys can do when you're going after your goals or when you're deciding something, right? You can write down all the great things that can happen, but then also on another sheet of paper, write down all of the worst case scenarios, what will happen to you. And 9 times out of 10, when you look at your worst case scenarios, when you have them in front of you, you can often say, well, I can get through this, or this won't be too bad, or hey, I can figure this out. That won't be too bad. That won't be too bad. And you'll realize that, you know, the worst case scenarios are 9 times out of 10 won't happen. But if 1 or 2 or maybe 3 of them happen, then you already knew that they were coming. You already saw them coming. You know that you can tackle them, and you know you can press forward and continue on your journey. But if we're just only positive, if we're only optimistic, then when some of those negative things or some of the just, you know, trials of being on a journey happen to you, or life just happens, because life happens to every single person. No person is exempt from life. But when life things happen to you, you're able to maneuver, because they won't just knock you off your block. They won't just utterly destroy you. You know, that's why you hear a lot of people in relationships say, you know, I don't put anything past anybody. I love this person. I respect this person. I think this, I believe this person wouldn't do anything to necessarily harm me. However, people are human and people may be people. So I'm not going to have this unrealistic expectation that this person is never going to hurt me, never do anything to get in my way or hurt me or stop me or whatever the case may be. But it's more so that, you know, I love them, but they're still human. Things happen. That's why when I have conversations about marriage and I talk about prenups, a lot of people who are against prenups, they have this mindset of, well, if you go into a marriage wanting a prenup, then you're already setting, the marriage is already doomed for failure. And studies show that that's not true. Actually, when you have a prenup in place, when you're happy, when you can talk about what's going to happen financially if things go south, even in business, like if you have a business partner, this is extremely crucial to plan and in the beginning phases of your business. But what happens if, you know, one day we don't love each other anymore and we have this home, these kids, what would happen? And if you plan things in the positive, when you guys are happy, talking to lawyers and listening to, go listen to some podcasts when lawyers come in and they talk about prenups, right? They say when people are happy and they do it in the beginning of their marriage and they set the tone of, hey, if anything were to go south, if you were to cheat, if I were to cheat, or we just, you know, 20 years down the road, we don't love each other anymore, because life is life. And we can see that that happens often, right? That, hey, this is what's going to happen. This is the plan in place. It makes the divorce a lot smoother. It makes it very, It makes the daggers are put away. The emotion, the people can just go through the emotion without having to battle and fight for what they want. Or, you know, when people's feelings get hurt and when there's money involved, people change. You know, if you've ever been around families around death, man, I don't care how much you thought that sister or that brother or that uncle or whatever was had your back or in the family. When death happens, when people are grieving, when people are hurt, and when money is involved, people change, y'all. And time changes people. Circumstances changes people. Life happens and people change. So having something in place and having a plan in place, not just a prenup, but having a plan in place for your own business, for your own family, for, you know, for the inevitable, because things happen, will help us along the way and it'll make those hard situations easier. We had a whole conversation on Morning Motivation about wills and estate planning, how important it is to talk to your partner, your spouse, especially if you're married, especially if you have kids with someone, especially if you have children, your parents. Our parents are getting older, you guys. Our parents are in our 50s, 60s, and some of us 70s. Hello. The inevitable is going to happen. Our grandparents are, if you still have your grandparents, they're going to pass. Having those hard conversations like, hey, you know, we need to talk about a will and testament. We need to talk about how you want to, what your burial instructions are. Do we have life insurance? Because the inevitable happens. Everybody has an expiration date. But for some reason, people want to live in the life of rose-colored glasses and they don't prepare for these things that are going to happen most likely, right? And then in the back end, we're dealing with way more stress on top of grieving or on top of grieving a relationship ending, of death, or whatever the case may be. Now we have to deal with a financial burden. Now we have to talk to lawyers and go through all these things. But if we prepared and had a plan in place for the possibility of the inevitable or what may or may not come, then things would go a lot smoother in our lives, or would go smoother when the bad things come. So what's that plan for you? You know, think about it after the live. Okay, this is my goal. This is where I want to go. I'm positive that I'm going to do whatever it takes to achieve it because I'm going to set my eye on the prize. I know my why. My why is strong. However, I'm going to have a little plan in place or have a few things, you know, jotted down, have a little money stashed away, have a little you know, a course of action, not maybe necessarily a plan B, C, A, and D. I don't necessarily think that that's the way you should think of it, right? Oh, if this doesn't happen, then I'm going to redirect over here. No, the goal should still be the same. But what happens when those obstacle comes? What happens when life happens? You know, if you're mentally prepared, maybe prepared on paper, prepared financially, it will help you go through those goals a lot smoother. And those obstacles or trials and tribulations won't stumble you. Having that will and testament in place will have you protected and have your family prepared if anything were to go down. Having that prenup, God forbid y'all don't love each other anymore and God, you ain't together or people cheat or whatever the case may be, then you can just grieve the relationship. Everything is in place and then you can go about your life and then you just won't cause a whole lot of turmoil. But really thinking about those scenarios can be very helpful. There is a difference between believing you will succeed and believing you will succeed easily. So the book isn't saying, you know, don't believe in yourself. Don't think positively. The book is saying that it's not enough to think that it's just going to come easily. Okay. So isn't optimism a good thing? Yes. Optimism and confidence is, optimism and confidence generates essential. What does it say?
The way this is worded is weird. Okay.
Essentially for creating and sustaining the motivation you need to reach your goals. Optimists are also psychologically healthier, recover more quickly from illness, suffer less frequently from depression, and are better at prioritizing and multitasking and more easily adept to adversity and challenges. So the book isn't telling you not to be optimistic. The book isn't telling you to not think positively. As it states here, that optimists are more physically healthier, They recover quickly. They recover from illness quickly. They frequently suffer less from depression, and they are better at prioritizing and multitasking, and more and easily in depth of adversities and challenges. So it's not telling you not to be optimist, not telling you not to think positively, but be realistic, excuse me, with those expectations, with the things that you have in front of you. And it says, to be successful, you need to understand that the very vital difference between believing you will succeed and believing you will succeed easily. Put it another way, it's the difference between being a realistic optimist and an unrealistic optimist. Okay, so realistic optimists believe they will succeed, but also believe that they have to make success happen for them. Okay, let me read that again. Realistic optimists believe they will succeed, but they also believe that they have to make success happen through things like effort, carefully planning, persistence, and choosing the right strategies. That's very important, because you can be doing everything you want to do, but have the wrong strategy in place. They recognize the need for giving serious thought on how they will deal with the obstacles. This preparation only increases their confidence in their own ability to get things done. Love that. So ensure that you guys are being very realistic when it comes to the planning of your goals, when it comes to, you know, making sure that you're prepared. You know, I don't like when people tell you don't save money. I definitely think you should save something. Like, if you empty out your bank account and anything could happen, what if your tire goes out? What if, you know, life happens to every single person. Nothing is hunky-dory and peaches and cream for anybody. So when people say don't save money, you know, why not? Like, what is the negative about saving money? Okay, they say, with inflation, you'll lose, the money will lose its value. How long does that take? It takes time. Like, inflation goes up every single year, so you see it coming, right? Or having a plan in place to where your money is optimized in a different type of savings. And there's so many other ways, but not to have anything is very detrimental. You should always have something in the bank. Always have a little cushion, a little nest egg, a little emergency. That's why they call it an emergency fund, because things happen. And then when emergencies do happen, you can dip into your emergency fund, and you don't have to drain your bank accounts or drain your 401k or drain or ask to borrow money. I do not like the borrowing money thing. I don't know why we do it. Don't like it. But having that protection allows emergencies just to be circumstances and not burdens, and not get buried with the difficulties that life may throw at you. So in this, realistic optimism believe that they will succeed, but also believe that they have to make it happen through things like effort, planning, persistence, and choosing the right strategies. Y'all, the right strategies, okay? They recognize the need for giving serious thought to how they will deal with obstacles. This preparation only increases their confidence in their own ability to get things done. Love that. Okay, dating is a mess for me. Yeah, it can be like that, but you gotta date in order to get married. You can't, unless you just, you know, things aren't like the movies where you just bump into somebody. I mean, it can happen like that. Me and my honey met and just by happenstance, but you got to go outside. You got to talk to people. You have to date. You can't sit on the couch and just assume somebody's going to come to you. Even with dating profiles, they can be a little, you know, so. Hopefully it gets better, though. And all it takes is one. All it takes is meeting one person that turns it all around. So just if they keep that in mind, hey, I got to go through all of these to get to the one. KK says Grand Rising, and yes, I'm going through the a process and tr of trying to buy a home and go back to grad school, and I'm ready to give up. I am exhausted. It's been 2 years. I would say keep going. Don't give up, KK, because it is a process. It took me 2 years to get my home. It is not an easy one. Grad school definitely isn't an easy one, but once you have your degree, once you have that master's in your hand, once you're in your home, it will be worth it. It will be worth it. And that's another thing I do want to say to anybody who is on the fence if they want to be a homeowner. I actually said this in How to Buy a Home video. If the responsibility of buying a home isn't your zhuzh, then it's up to you. I will say though, I am thankful that I bought my home because rent will continue to increase and your mortgage will kind of it won't really increase. Your property taxes may increase, but your mortgage won't. So do the math for yourself. Is it worth buying a home and saving money? I think in the short term or long term, but it's totally up to you. There are some people who get homes and absolutely hate them because they are responsible. You guys are we are responsible for everything, okay? Everything. Garage door, plumbing, light, everything. Everything. So make sure when you're buying a home, for those who out there who are debating it, that it's something that you really want to take on and that you understand the responsibility that comes with it. But that's the same thing with anything, children. You know, I think that people have a very unrealistic mindset when it comes to just having kids. Oh, just have them. No, children are a lot of work and a lot of preparation. There's a lot of things that are good and bad about having kids, in my personal opinion. Grand Rising, thank you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I write a new game plan. I think everybody should have some sort of game plan, some sort of business plan, some sort of idea map of what they want to do, for sure. Thank you so much, Naturally Ann. I hate borrowing money and I hate asking to borrow money. I can't do it. Me too. I borrow money from my honey. That's probably it. And for school. That is it. She Amber says, yes, be prepared and plan always. And this is the reason why I don't believe in the whole borrowing money thing. If somebody were to come to me and ask me for money, I would just either if I had it, I would give it. If I had it and I wouldn't miss it. Like if everything was paid for, I was taken care of, nothing in my life would be disrupted, then I would just, you know, let them have it, wouldn't expect it back. Just here you go. Here's a gift, here's a blessing, whatever. Because 9 times out of 10, if people have to borrow money, they don't have it to give you back. 9 times out of 10, some people, yeah, you know, hit or miss, but most of the times they don't. And so I would hate to have a relationship ruined or hunt somebody down for money. Some people don't believe in that. Some people believe, hey, if I borrow, let people borrow money, somebody will always owe me something. Me personally, I just like the peace of here you go. We don't have to get into it. But that's just me. Myrna says, not sure if you mentioned it already. Are these episodes going to be on the podcast again? I have not been uploading podcasts. I do have something to talk to you guys about tomorrow. And we'll talk about that. But no, I have not been doing it. And that's all on me. All on me why these episodes aren't on the podcast. Yeah, they're not. And that is a work in progress. But I do have all the episodes saved for the most part. I think the last three are not saved. But you can always watch them on YouTube. You can always watch them on YouTube, play them in your car. But no, unfortunately, they're not on the podcast. I think I stopped at episode 36, I believe. Yeah. Good morning, Brittany. You said you and your honey met. And you seem nice and approachable. That's a funny story. No, I was not nice when I first met him. I didn't want to talk to him. I thought he was too handsome. I was like, oh, this guy is trouble. He's too cute. I'm not talking to him. So I was very unapproachable at that point. I was very unapproachable. So no, I'm nice. I'm very nice. Like I wasn't rude, but I didn't talk to him at all when we first met. When I first saw him, I would say after we met and he started talking to me, then, you know, I was friendly, but
I was like, oh, he's trouble. Staying away from him. I was wrong. He was a sweetheart and a nice, genuine guy. So don't always judge a book by its cover, ladies, because you could be blocking your blessing. If I would have stayed with that mindset and would have been mean to him while he was talking to me, because he spoke to me first. I always tease him about that. But no, I would have missed out on a huge blessing. So ladies, don't think somebody's too cute for you. You never know. You might be just up his alley. Okay. Let's see. So the next tip is to realistic optimists believe. Oh, I already read that. Yeah, I read that already. Hold on, y'all. did I read this? Yes, I think I did. Yeah, I did. Okay. Sorry, guys. So believing the road to success will be easy. Believing the road to success will be rocky leads to greater success because it forces you to take action. So again, going back to being realistic with the process of getting to our goals and the process of executing our dreams, our desires, while we're praying, while we're working. You know, one of the things that people underestimate a lot is entrepreneurship. You know, social media really makes entrepreneurship look very glamorous, makes it look like, oh, you start a business and boom, you're a millionaire. And I'm here to tell you, don't work like that, you know, especially depending on your industry, depending on what your goods and services are. You know, some people have peak seasons. So really understanding the industry that you're getting in, doing a lot of research, not doing so much that it cripples you. But sometimes doing a little research on the front end, you'll really come to find out, like, is this something that I actually want to do? Is this something that I actually want to pursue? And I feel like sometimes when we don't do that work, we spend so much time investing, thinking and planning things, and then come to find out later down the road, after the money's spent, after the time and the energy is spent, that this may not have been the best course of action. Of course, failure is a part of the process that also redirects you. So there's, you should be optimistic about trying different things and going there, but really giving it some thought before you execute. You know, I think that sometimes that can cripple us. So try to let it not stop you and scare you too much, because a lot of people don't execute or do anything because they're scared. They see all the obstacles, and instead of thinking, how can I overcome them? How can I get around this obstacle? How can I, you know, demolish this obstacle or keep going past these hurdles and these things I see in front of me? They just get too overwhelmed and too scared, and they don't do anything, which is crippling. So you want to be optimistic. You want to, you know and believe in yourself, but also really be very honest. Like, how long is this going to take me? How much money is this going to take me? Is this something that normally happens? You know, we always have great ideas and things like that. But if you don't have the capital, like, a lot of businesses go under because they don't have the capital to continue production on their products. For instance, there are companies who, they're great when they're mom and pop, right? When they're out of the home, they're out of the kitchen. But as soon as, like, maybe Walmart or Target says, hey, we love you guys, we're going to place a big order. Here's $50,000. We want 100,000 units, or whatever the case may be. If the mom and pop shop doesn't have the manufacturing, the distribution in place, the scalability of the business, then they can't fulfill the order. Then they don't get that. They don't get that deal. And a lot of times people have gone under because they couldn't keep up with the demand of their business, you know. And that's why it's very hard. Like, when you do anything yourself, they say always try to have a business that's scalable. You know, if you're making handmade jewelry and you don't have 10 or 15 people that are also making the handmade jewelry with you, or you can't outsource or teach somebody how to do what you do, then how is your business going to be sustainable for the long term? It may be sustainable for the short term, maybe for the first year, the first 6 months. But if you want to grow your business, because if we read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the goal is not to be self-employed. The goal is to have a business. You want to be able to step back, and allow your money to make money for you in the long run. You may have to put in the legwork in the beginning, in the short term, you know, in the beginning process, but in order to scale it, you have to go out there and have people work for you and do what you do, you know, and multiply. There's a movie called The Founder, and it was about the gentleman who took over McDonald's and made McDonald's what we know of it today. And he had a very hard time trying to duplicate the system that he found with the original McDonald's, the McDonald's store. So when he franchised, that was really hard for him to set that standard, because over here, these people over here selling fried chicken, these people over here were selling hot dogs and all that. And he was like, no. We are a burger shake joint. That is it. That is the whole plan. We have a whole process. They were like, they had a, like a Chick-fil-A type system back in the day. It's a really good movie. If you're into business, I highly recommend you guys watch The Founder. I believe it's on Amazon Prime right now. But you know, they had the original McDonald's had like a, had a Chick-fil-A type of system. They would order, boom, people were getting their food, and he was very amazed, and he tried to take that idea and scale it and put it in different places. In the first few years, he found like people weren't generating the same type of situation. So he had to put plans in places, action in place to ensure that they maintain that standard. So that's just one example, but your business has to be scalable. It has to, you have to be able to one day step away, because we can't work forever. You know, that's why they tell hairstylists, you know, start selling products, start getting some tools in there, because one day your hands aren't going to be, your hands aren't going to work the same. You're going to get fatigued. So really start thinking about, if you guys are thinking about business, or if you have a business, it's great to start it and think in the short term. And sometimes all you can see is what's right in front of you. But for the long term, it is okay to say, okay, what are we going to do in the long term? What does this look like 2, 3, 5 years from now? Because we're not just starting hobbies, y'all. We're trying to make some shmoney, you know? So what kind of situation can you put in place to make sure that, you know, your business is scalable, or whatever your goal is going to continue to grow and continue to expand for yourself? What does it look like in the long run? You know, when you're dating people, the one thing that I cannot stand, this is something that is a pet peeve of mine. When I was dating, I like to ask a lot of questions because I wanted to know what type of person I was dealing with. And there's a way you do it. You don't want to interrogate. It doesn't, you don't want to make it seem like it's like a job interview, like, or but a red flag for me was when I wanted to ask questions about the future to figure out somebody's mindset. Oh, you ask too many questions, or it's too soon to talk about that. Hated it. I feel like more people would be way more successful, and they would understand if that was somebody they wanted to be with, if they had certain conversations, no matter what time in the relationship they were in. You know, they don't tell you at a bank that it's too soon to make a business plan for 3, 5, 10 years down the road, but we don't do that in relationships. We want to take our time and only talk about, you know, the dating process. No, I'm dating you for a reason. I'm dating you because I want a family. I'm dating because, you know, there's a bigger picture here. It's not just, you know, yes, you should have fun. Yes, you should be in the moment. Yes, things should be light in the beginning. However, there is a point where there are certain conversations that should be had. And when people say, well, you shouldn't think about, don't worry about that till it happens. Why? Even pregnancy and preparing for children, you know, if you get pregnant, you only have 556 days. No, excuse me, not 500, 256 days before you're due. And I mean, that's in the very beginning when you first find out, all the way up until the baby is born, to prepare for a baby. Why not know what type of products are out there that are good and bad? Why not know if you want a hospital birth or a home birth, and know the good, the bad, and indifferent, even before you have children, even while you're dating, even before you're in a relationship? Why not have those things in your tool belt, just so when it happens, you're not overwhelmed and trying to jam pack something in such a short period of time? 9 months in the grand scheme of planning is really not a lot of time when you are, you know, we have to buy things and have to, when you have to do your research on all these products and things like that. I think it's very smart for women to do that as soon as possible, or as soon as they know that they want children. So when the time comes, it's not so chaotic and hectic. And what about this? And what about this? I have to think about this. I have to think, no, hey, I already kind of know what I want. I know what type of, so it just makes the process smoother. You know, marriage, you know, people take a year, 2 years to plan a wedding. Why do we think that things are just supposed to, we're just going to wait till we get there? Why do we do that to ourselves? So if you are a planner, plan. If you're a woman who is single, you don't have kids, but you know you want them, go watch some videos about women who bought things and what pregnancy is going to be like, and you know what giving birth is going to be like, and the foods that you're supposed to eat to prepare. Like, I think all of those things are crucial so that you're not overwhelmed. And any time that I watch those videos of women talk about, you know, the end of after they give birth and they're in their postpartum, they always say, I wish I would have prepared way before I even knew I was pregnant, because it's not enough time. It was so much information. I had anxiety. There are certain things I wish I wouldn't have had to think about while I was pregnant if I would have done it before. So I think that the same thing can be done for marriage, business, anything that we want to do. Don't wait on the opportunity to start preparing. Prepare for what you want now. Be a realistic optimist in the midst of that. you guys are talking about borrow money. Being Mitch said, when I purchased my home, I had to really ask myself if I would regret being of the market of buying a home and then eventually selling it. And I came to the conclusion that I should buy while I can. I love that. Same. Most of the time they don't have to give it back. I always give it when I can, but still hate it. This year I'm on a whole, I'm on the whole, I don't give money move period. Yeah. If you're going to feel a way about giving money, don't do it. If you're going to have resentment towards that person, if you're going to, not really, or you're going to want your money back, maybe you just shouldn't give it. Even if you have it, like, no, I don't have it right now. And they can't get mad at you if you don't have it, right? Only certain families can borrow money from me. I'm trying to wait on the market to go down before I buy a house. Hopefully it will soon. They say it's supposed to level out, but that could be in a year or two. And it just really depends with, you know, what's going on overseas. There are a lot of factors. So I would just keep studying, keep your ear to the street. I will say prices won't go down. What they'll do is they'll probably level out. What you don't want to do, what's happening now, are people are buying homes that cost more than the value of the house. So say if the house is valued at $300,000, but because demand is high, and that's business period, if the demand is high, prices are going to go up, right? That's just the nature of the beast in business. Like when we had any disaster, but it just like toilet paper, right? When the pandemic happened, everybody's buying toilet paper was a hot commodity. So when toilet paper used to be $10, it was now $20 and $30. So it just really depends on the demand. So I think it will level itself out somehow. Do some research, study the market, see what people are forecasting for the home buying. And another thing that's going on now, too, that's happening to my sister, is now they're not giving people options of upgrades and things like that because supplies are limited. You're getting basic stuff in your house. So think about if that's something that is think of that something that's worth it. You know, if you're spending $500,000 on a $300,000 home, you're underwater $200,000. Might not be worth it. So yeah, you have to do your research and understand, you know, how you know where you are in this whole process. Good morning. Just got off 30. Aw. I'm so happy you are off work. Congratulations on another day of work. She Amber says long-term goals are best to plan. If anyone doesn't have a vision board, get one. My vision board is kind of unrealistic, though. You want to stay prepared and always before it even comes so that you are a master of it before it actually happens. There's always a video out there. What I wish I knew before So this is true. You got to prepare so you don't have to have that thought, I wish I would have known before. That is very true. There are a lot of videos out there, especially if you want to be a mother, of what not to buy, what not to. I did that when I bought my home. When I was buying my home, I did a lot of research on what upgrades were worth it, what upgrades weren't worth it. You know, when people invest or they save or they do anything, there's always a video on what I wish I would have known before. You know, just go search and do your research. It is definitely out there. So whatever you guys are gearing up for, whatever plans you have in place, there are so many videos about, you know, what you can and can't do, or what people wish they would have known before, especially when it comes in babies. So if you are not pregnant or you want children, there are so many, so many videos out there. Good morning, sis. So going to page 38, we're almost done. I'm going to wrap this up really quick. Let me know in the comments if you guys have any more comments. Good morning, you guys. Realistic optimists send out more job applications, find the courage to approach potential romantic partners, and work harder on their rehabilitation exercises, in each case leading to much higher success rates. Believing that the road will be rocky leads to greater success because it forces you to take action. People who are confident that they will succeed and equally confident that success won't come easy put in more effort. They plan how to deal with problems before they arise and persist longer in the face of difficulty. Unrealistic optimists are less likely to consider all possible turns and paths to their goal that it might take. They are more likely to take risks without thinking things through. Ooh, y'all, that used to be me. They are more likely to take risks without thinking things through, and they are only too happy to tell you that you are being negative when you dare to express concern, harbor reservations, or dwell too long on obstacles that stand in your way of the goal. In truth, this kind of thinking is necessary to step into any successful endeavor. And it is not only, it is not all an authentic confidence, I don't know what that says. Forcing only on what we want, focusing on only what we want to execute. My reading is horrible today. Focusing only on what we want to the exclusion of everything else is just the kind of naive and reckless thinking that has landed industry leaders in hot water. So basically says only exclusively thinking of the positive and never thinking of, you know, what can come and the obstacles that can come your way is naive and reckless thinking that can land industry leaders in hot water. Cultivate your realistic optimism by combining a positive attitude with honest assessment of challenges that await you. I love that. Cultivating your realistic optimism by combining a positive attitude with an honest assessment of challenges that await you. So when you are planning something, when you say, hey, I want to start a business, or I want to start a family, or I want to go out and date because I want to be married, really be realistic with the challenges that you face. You know, whatever your goal is. And some people, all of those goals are already checked off. You know, that might not be your goal. What are your goals? And really look at, like, be very positive. Like, hey, I know that I have the capabilities of doing this. I know I have the warehouse. I know I have the mental capacity. I know I have the education. I know I have the skills. I know I have the mental fortitude to push through no matter what I have to do. But here are the obstacles that could come my way, especially if you guys are buying homes. That is not an easy process. That is a very, you know, strenuous process. Everything worth having is hard, unfortunately. So be very realistic with that. And don't be hard on yourself in the midst of it. Just know that life is going to happen. I'm not exempt from life. I'm not exempt from obstacles. I'm not exempt from things not going as planned, because a lot of times they won't go as planned. But knowing that they can happen if you stay persistent, if you stay prepared, if you have the right strategy, you keep praying, you keep persevering through all of the obstacles and all of the things that you may face, then you're going to get to your goal. But like we always say, God's timing is the best timing. So we don't know, you know, how long it's going to take, but we have to be proactive in that pursuit. Let's see. KK says, yep, in the DMV, the prices are now gone down since 2019. It's upper high. It's super high here. I am really thinking about moving from this area. You live in one of the most expensive areas. The DMV is not not cheap at all. Not cheap. Thank you, sis. My sister is buying a home right now. She sold her home. So she sold her home at the right time, but buying a home right now is very, very difficult for some people because they're spending more money on a home than they normally would have. And you definitely don't want to be upside down in anything. Not a car, not a home. And so timing is everything. So it might not be the time. But you have to decide what you're willing to sacrifice, what you're willing to do. Are you willing to wait or do you want to go ahead and execute now? I don't know everybody's financial circumstances. I don't know what everybody faces on a day-to-day basis. You know what you can handle. You know what you can deal with. You know your life and your circumstances and what type of life you want for yourself. So all of that, I definitely think takes planning and knowing that you can have it. There are definitely homes out there. Y'all, there, don't let nobody tell you that there ain't no homes. They're building homes all the time. They have a whole new neighborhood next to mine that they're building homes all the time. So there are homes being built. Just what type of situation or scenario do you want? Bing Nee said to all the future homeowners, the buyer is responsible for the additional cost that the home doesn't appraise for. If the home is $330 and it appraises for $300, you have to pay the $30 out of pocket, or the $30,000 out of pocket, which is very true. My house appraised for $3,000 less than I was approved for. So I had to come out of pocket $3,000. Which at the time I had, because I saved my money. so it wasn't a big deal. But that does definitely happen. And especially when you're buying new, they can change the price on you depending on your contract. So make sure you understand your contracts and make sure you understand what you're getting yourself into. So let's go back over all of the little tips I had today. The first step is positive thinking isn't enough to achieve your goals, but being positive is something that you definitely need, but it's not enough, okay? There is a difference between believing you will succeed and believing you will succeed easily. Number three, realistic optimists believe they will succeed and know they have to make success happen with effort, carefully planning, persistence, and choosing the right strategy. They give serious thought on how they will deal with obstacles. Believing the road to success will be rocky leads to greater success because it forces you to take action. Only focusing only on what we want isn't a smart route. Okay, so we have to make sure that we're being very realistic. We take the rose-colored glasses off and we see the obstacles we have in front of us. So don't only focus on what you want. Keep that ahead of you. Keep that on your vision board. Keep that, you know, on your goals. However, understand that the road might not look the way we think it looks. But having the knowledge, doing the research, and knowing beforehand will definitely help you prepare. So when those things happen, they won't knock you off your square. You'll be like, oh, I knew that was coming. Boom, here we go. Here's the money to fix it. Or I know how to fix it because I did my research. This is what this book said, or this is what this person said. So this worked for them. So this is what I'm going to use. Only focusing on what you want isn't the smart route. Focusing on the steps it will take to make something happen will help you achieve your goals. So I hope that this was helpful, you guys. We are reading out of the 9 things successful people do differently. This was the chapter on being an optimist, a realistic optimist. I will say if I would have read this book, and I've had this book for years, if I would have read this book a lot sooner, I feel like there are a few things that I would have done very, very differently. But it's okay. Like if any time that you don't do things perfectly or things don't always pan out exactly the way you meant to, or you fail, quote unquote, fail at something, that is okay. That's just a redirection. It happens. They say that successful people fail more times than they succeed. So you're on the right path either way. So do not be afraid. Keep pushing towards your goals. Keep being optimists. However, add a little realism to it and you will be just fine. I pray that you guys have a beautiful and blessed day. Happy Thursday. I will see you guys tomorrow with my special announcement, and we will be doing the book giveaway. And again, if you guys have signed up for your coaching program, for the coaching program, we start tonight at 8 p.m. So check your emails. And if you guys need one-on-one coaching or anything like that, I'm now certified. I have a certified life coaching certification. So DM me, hit me up, excuse me, email me, and we will talk. But I hope you guys have a beautiful and blessed day and have a great one. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye, y'all.